Welcome to another edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. By now, you may have heard details of a big announcement made Monday morning in downtown Bentonville that will one day add to the skyline of downtown Bentonville. New York-based startup WeWork is planning to build a 200,000-square-foot building near the downtown square. The future site is on South Main Street on a lot of about 1.5 acres. If you are unfamiliar, WeWork is a privately held real estate and technology company that provides shared office spaces around the world. The company is less than 10 years old, but already it has 425 locations in more than 100 cities across 27 countries. For another perspective, all those locations combine for about 45 million square feet of office space. The WeWork building in downtown Bentonville will obviously have multiple floors, though the exact number is not determined. It's also one of the company's first ground-up developments, expected to accommodate retail, community space, and a workplace for more than 3,200 people. A groundbreaking for the building likely won't be until 2020. There's much more on this story on our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. When we come back, we'll visit with University of Arkansas economist Mervin Jebaraj. You're listening to the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report right here on Ozarks at Large.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas, and it shows in your banking experience. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. That's because First Security is 100% focused on serving customers all across the state and nowhere else. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. And OneCom. OneCom provides communications options to help your business adapt to today's demands with tomorrow's technology. With opportunities in virtualization, redundancy, or maximizing your efficiency. Learn more at onecom.com. That's 1-COMM.com.
University of Arkansas economist Mervin Jebaraj admits that the yield curve inversion has been an accurate predictor of past recessions, but he warns that the current economic environment has many variables that suggest reliance on the often used indicator should be cautious. Jebaraj appeared on this week's edition of Talk Business and Politics and had this to say about the predictive powers of the yield curve and what it means for the national economy. Here he is with Roby Brock.
We have heard a lot about yield curve inversion. I want you to tell everybody what yield curve inversion is, and is it really an accurate prediction of what might happen in the near-term future for the economy, or is it just more of a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, I think there are a lot of yield curve evangelists out there in the world, and they talk about the yield curve like it is the second coming of Christ, and its predictive powers are amazing. Now, what is true about the yield curve is that it has correctly predicted the last few recessions. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to predict every recession in the future. Now, what it is essentially this. There are, you know, short-term bonds and long-term bonds. Long-term bonds in general have higher interest rates because people have to give up their money for longer periods of time. Risk factors are higher over a longer time period. Inflation risks might be higher over a longer time period. So in general, long-term bonds, say 10-year treasuries, have higher yields than short-term bonds, say 3-year, 2-year treasuries. Now, when there is a threat of a recession, this switches over because people expect short-term treasuries to lose value as the Federal Reserve drops its rates because we're headed towards a recession. So people are more willing to get into long-term bonds even though there are low yields. So what this does is it inverts the curve where the difference between the long-term and short-term treasuries turns negative, and that's what we call a yield curve inversion. So in the past, this is, you know, the reason why the yield curve inverts is important. So if the yield curve is inverting because people are fleeing short-term treasuries into long-term treasuries because they think there's a recession, then I think the yield curve inversion works as a good predictor of recessions. But I don't think that that's why long-term treasuries have lower yields. I think long-term treasuries have lower yields for a couple of different reasons. Developed economies across the world are in lower growth cycles, like the United States and the European Union. We're thinking about our long-term growth being closer to about 2%, not higher than that. So that flattens the yield curve as it is, so it makes yield curve inversions a lot more likely. Global inflation expectations, especially inflation expectations here in the United States, are well anchored below 2%. So again, that flattens the yield curve, making yield curve inversions more likely. And the other factor to remember is that the Federal Reserve has a massive balance sheet that they accumulated as part of quantitative easing and some of the other actions they took after the last recession. And what they did was bought up a whole bunch of long-term treasuries, which pushed down their yields. And the Federal Reserve is still holding on to a lot of these long-term treasuries. They have divested some of these treasuries, but they're stopping that process later this year. So that puts negative pressure on yields as well, in the sense that the Federal Reserve holds a lot of treasuries and yields are lower. So for a variety of different reasons, the long-term yields are lower that don't have to do with people fleeing short-term for long-term because of short-term economic prospects. So that's not to say that we're not likely to see a recession next year. It's just to say that maybe the yield curve inversion stops being as good a predictor because of some other structural issues in our economy.
Jabiraj also discussed the revisions that came to Arkansas's employment numbers last year.
With the unemployment rate this low, the one positive that we've seen from all of it is that wages have finally gone up for workers. In the last 2 years, we've averaged about 2% wage growth on a year-over-year basis for all private sector workers in Arkansas, adjusted for inflation. So we've taken away the effect of inflation, and they're still making 2% more on a year-over-year basis. And this was in 2017 and all of 2018, too. So that's the really good piece of news from the unemployment rate. You know, it's not just nice to see a low headline unemployment rate. You want to get the positive effects of the low unemployment rate, which would be wage increases for workers across the state. So that's a positive. The other news that hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention that is important as well is that, you know, we've gotten the expected revisions that come every year in March. And this year, the revisions are a lot more significant than they usually were in previous years from the BLS. And what that has done is that it has made the labor force decline not as bad in 2018 in Arkansas. So previously, before the revisions, we were looking at going from a 1% labor force growth rate to about negative 1%. So a large swing in the labor force growth rate in Arkansas. After the revisions, we went from about positive 1% labor force growth rate to about just under 0% labor force growth rate. So still the labor force overall did decline in Arkansas, but the decline wasn't as steep as we thought it was. And this, you know, goes through the metro areas as well as the non-metro areas too. And so combined with that, the revisions that we got on the employment side and the payroll side of the employment show that Arkansas not only added jobs in the metro areas of Northwest Arkansas, Central Arkansas, and Jonesboro, but some of the other metro areas added a few jobs. And the rural areas added a few thousand jobs and didn't lose as many jobs as we thought they did in before the revisions.
And you can watch that entire interview with Mervin Jabiraj online at nwabusinessjournal.com, where you will also find the latest issue of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal. The digital version is now online, and you can read it for free. It features a cover story on Onyx Coffee Lab co-owners John and Andrea Allen. And that's all for today. We'll be back Sunday morning with another Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report right here on Ozarks at Large. Until then, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.